You're wrong.
Bobby asked me if I had a good message, and I said, well, the Lord gave it to me, so I guess it is. The Lord said, why do you call me good? Only my Father in heaven is good. And what the will of the Lord is good. What is against the will of the Lord is evil. And so that's about all we need to know. We can be good only if we are continually obeying and acting on the Word of God and through Christ. Now, Jim asked me about last month the title, and I'm not sure what to call it. We decided to call it the Antichrist Spirit today. And so I'm going to give you one other aspect of the Antichrist Spirit today. And then I thought I was going to begin several lessons which would deal with the armor of God, but the Lord intercepted me and said, no, not that now. But I want to kind of give you a general picture. I won't be able to finish it today, but a general picture. First, I'm going to finish in regard to the Antichrist Spirit today, and then the biblical answer. And in broad terms, the biblical answer is the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. We'll be reading from Matthew 24. And the outpouring reestablishment of the tabernacle of David and the sevenfold spirit, which the outpouring of the sevenfold spirit has to do with the reestablishing of the tabernacle of David, finally producing a movement where the entire church, we all become priests of God. That's our inheritance. That's what God has wanted of His church. The New Testament church got a vision of that. Then we lost it. And we're getting it back, and finally we're going to see the fulfilling, because the Antichrist doesn't have a chance. not when God begins to move. Now, let me finish. And what I did here is take some notes from a book I mentioned last month, David Horowitz's book, Unholy Alliance. I think I mentioned to you that David Horowitz is a former Marxist. I don't believe he's a Christian. He's Jewish in descent. But he certainly understands the unholy alliance between radical Islam and the radical left. I mean, that book, Unholy Alliance, is one of the best, although the book that I mentioned to you last time also by McCarthy is I think The Grand Jihad is one of the best books that has been written in regard to this alliance between radical Islam and radical left. That seems to unite the religious right with the political left. But really, the Islam is not really the religious right. There are certain aspects, I suppose, you could call in Islam a right in a political sense. But what I want to expand now is some of his observations, some of Horowitz's observations in regard to what's happening today. Some of these, you know, I never studied Islam or the Arab world when I was in school. In any of my degree preparations, I never studied anything about Islam. I think that's true. The West, we kind of ignored Islam and didn't really know. Just the last 5 years that I taught, I started reading things about Islam and the history of Islam in order to try to get some knowledge of what we were facing. Because if you don't understand the nature of the Antichrist spirit, if you don't understand the enemy, when I was in the Army eons ago, 1954 to 1956, I was drafted and called out of formation after basic training and asked if I wanted to join the Counterintelligence Corps, and it sounded good to me. I didn't know exactly what it was, but it sounded good. It sounded better than carrying a rifle and marching in an infantry outfit. So we took some tests and some interviews, and there were three of us from the battalion that were chosen to go to intelligence school. And the first thing we did is to spend a month reading nothing but Marxist material. If you cannot successfully prosecute a war if you do not understand the enemy. You must understand fully. We don't understand enough. Now, I don't mean you don't dare probe too deeply into Satanism. God has stopped me. You can go so far, and if you go too far, even as a spirit-filled Christian, you can get into trouble. But you need to go only as deep into evil as God will allow you to go, and as the anointing of the Spirit is on you to deal with that kind of evil. But Horowitz, it's people who have been in a movement understand a movement. It's why when I taught Russian history, I always relied, the most reliable information about Russia and Russian communism was from Russians who had defected from the party and who are now enemies of the party, but understood fully. It's like Whitaker Chambers, Witness. And have you read that book, 1952, was put out? Whitaker Chambers, Witness. You should read it. You should read it. Outside of the Bible, that book had more impact on me than any other book. I'm a Christian partly because I read Witness. There are a lot of things that led me to Christ. But he was a witness to what it meant to be a Marxist and a communist, and how Christ came, brought him out. Now, you know, don't expect an evangelical type witness. He's an intellectual. But nevertheless, I mean, he understood evil. So, with that, let me just mention a few things that Horowitz mentions in looking more at this kingdom of evil, the Antichrist spirit. Saheed Qutb, and the pronunciation of this name, I'm not sure, it's Qutb, was the leading theoretician of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, the Muslim Brotherhood has become in the news again, because in the Egyptian revolution, the Muslim Brotherhood by Mubarak had them in prison, had most of their leaders in prison. They have been since let loose. And they are probably the most important faction in Egypt that is attempting to establish Islamic control. Of course, the Western media, we Americans are the most naive people in the world. I'm sorry to say, I think it's because we've been so isolated for our history, not understanding people who really are evil, or understanding that there is such a thing as evil, or the evil one. But he had a great influence on Marxism, or I mean on Islam, and he had a great influence on Ayatollah Khomeini, who was the leader of the 1979 Iranian Revolution. Iran is a key of all the countries in the Near East, probably one of the most important keys to the Antichrist spirit and the movement of the Antichrist. Iran is a large country. I saw some months ago that if population trends continue, that by, and here I've forgotten the exact date, but somewhere around 2040, that Iran will become the largest country, even larger than Russia in population. So that this nation is a key to what is happening. And the Muslim Brotherhood is the intellectual foundation. This Saheed Qutb is one of their leaders, one of their first spokesmen. But they are the Muslim Brotherhood is the one who was the forerunner of Al-Qaeda, they were responsible for 9/11, and they were the other principal terrorist organizations that came out of Qutb's writing were Hezbollah, Hamas, and Al-Qaeda. So all of those radical groups in the Near East have a main objective, and that main objective is to, by whatever method, whether it's terrorism or whatever it is. And so in America, what we've done is managed to separate. I mean, George Bush did this, not just a Barack Obama, is to claim that Islam is totally separate and a peaceful religion, whereas there are terrorists, there are our enemy. So Islam is not an enemy, but the people who are terrorists, like Al-Qaeda, are the enemy, or Hamas, or Hezbollah. They are the enemy. But it is impossible, as any writer who has had a great familiarity, to separate the intellectual foundation, like the Muslim Brotherhood, because they provide the theoretical framework for everything, all the terrorist organizations. And terrorism seems random, but it isn't random. It has a purpose. It has a destructive purpose. It's had a destructive purpose to destroy the West and to destroy imperialism and capitalism, just as the left wants to destroy imperialism and capitalism. This is what throws them together. And the West is represented mainly by Israel and the United States, little Satan and great Satan, both to the far left and to Islam. That's what throws them together, because they see the United States and Israel as the main enemy. And their main objective, this is the Islamic part, is to establish Sharia law, in other words, the law of the Quran, Sharia law as the absolute law over the entire world. These people have a goal of purifying human beings, of creating. Well, I used to say, when I lectured on Marxism, this was the key to Marxism. It's not just workers of the world unite. It is a purpose not just to establish communism. Why do you establish communism? Because you want to create a new communist man. When I say man, I mean generic, men and women. You want a new communist man, or you want a new Islamic man. They both believe that they can do what only God can do. See, this is the greatest heresy. Most of them are not atheists. Certainly Islam, these people are not atheists. In fact, many of the communists were not atheists, although some of them pretended to be. But they wanted to overthrow God, to rebel against God. Now, Islam wants to rebel against the Christian God, but the Christian God is the only true God. The Bible says when we worship idols, and that's any other religion other than God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we are worshiping demons. So the Antichrist spirit, Satan is the head, but the Antichrist spirit, the satanic spirit, controls all religions outside of the only true faith. I don't call Christianity a religion. Paul on Mars Hill talked about people who were very religious. And in the Amplified Bible, the Greek there is translated very reverent to demons. Very reverent to demons. So religious people, see, we as Christians are not religious. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We have his life. And when I come later, I'll try to show you how important that is. So they want to change human nature, but only God can do that. The Western leftist radicals want to purify man from racism and sexism and homophobia, and they believe they can do that only by eliminating capitalism and imperialism. I mean, Barack Obama's pastor was the one who preached constantly condemning the United States, damning the United States, because we were supposedly the key to all imperialism, and imperialism is the enemy. So this notion that imperialism is the enemy is an Antichrist idea. It's an Antichrist spirit idea. The whole idea of capitalism and imperialism as the heart of evil, capitalism and imperialism is something different. I don't want to get into that. But capitalism is a form, and Marx coined the term. Marx coined the capitalistic term. Really, the better word or phrase to describe the American economic system is a free market system. Because there are three elements that make production in a market system: land, labor, and capital. But capitalism emphasizes capital over land and labor. But to produce wealth, you need land, labor, and capital. And so, you know, I don't think we should use the phrase capitalism. The Bible promotes a market system, which brings freedom, but the Holy Spirit brings freedom. Now, another thing that's very, very important, and these are things that the two have in common, the extreme left, Islam, and the radical left, the communists, the socialists, the liberals, the progressives. Both those movements, ultimately, promote a totalitarian society. Now, totalitarianism is different than, let's say, a dictatorship. You can have a dictatorship, but that's not necessarily good. It isn't good. But a totalitarian system is always going to be led by an Antichrist spirit. Why? Because totalitarian comes from the word total. And in communism, and in Sharia law, in establishing the caliphate, which they wanted to establish a world caliphate. Islam wants to establish a world caliphate. An absolute rule. Not democracy. An absolute rule. You never find democracy in the Islamic world. And so they want to establish a total control. Now, not just a control over politics. Not just a centralized political system. But to control the economic system. Total control of the economic system, to control the social system, to control, and this is the most important thing, to control every aspect of private life into your bedroom, to control every aspect. This is why there was so much terror in the communist world, because people resent and resist all of their lives being totally controlled by the state. And they will resist it, and they will flee from it. That's why they put up an iron curtain, because people were fleeing from. I mean, East Germany was emptying out when West Germany was a free state. And that's why they had to put up the wall. Because people do not want to have every aspect of their private lives under control, and they'll rebel against it. Of course, that's why the mass terror, to frighten people with such fear, and there's mass terror in both movements, because you use mass terror. Stalin used it, Mao used it, but it's used in the Islamic world. If you create enough fear, then you have people who will not resist. They will fear to resist. Now, I think I'll skip over, maybe I should say just one word. In the radical left, there's an idea of class conflict. In fact, the Marxists teach that there are five stages of history, which I won't go into. But the idea of class conflict. Actually, having taught history for 47 years, I think the whole notion of classes is illusory. I don't think, if someone asks you if you were a middle class, I bet 90% of Americans say, yeah, well, I'm middle class. No, I'm upper class. Who's going to say I'm upper class? Middle class. How do you define those? There is no accurate definition. These are handy tools. By the way, the Marxists claim to be spokesmen for the poor. They claim that capitalism and imperialism has impoverished the world. That's what the Islam believes, too. They've been impoverished because, well, the poor, who are the poor? Do you know that over a period of, let's say, 50 years, you will only have about 8% of the people who were poor each year of all those 50 years. The poor is not the economic status of people is daily changing. I have a job, now I don't have a job. And so there is no class of poor. Let me say that again. There is no class of poor, except when we create, through the welfare state, and through people who don't want to get off of the welfare, we create almost a permanent class. But that's what the totalitarians want, because then they can be the security blanket to provide for all of the so-called needs, especially the material needs of those people. And in the Iranian Revolution, which that Khomeini led, he did borrow some Marxist ideas. Now, Qutb, the other leader of the Muslim Brotherhood, did not use class conflict ideas, but Khomeini did, and the Ba'ath movement in Iran, they used class conflict ideas, so that the Iranian Communist Party came to openly support Khomeini. And the Iranian leadership today is in the heritage of the Khomeini revolution. Now, they also believe, the leftists believe, that if private property is eliminated and capitalism and imperialism are eliminated, both the Marxists and the left believe that if capitalism is eliminated, imperialism is eliminated, then they will be able to establish, the left thinks, that it will be a kind of political socialist system, but the Islamists believe it will be a world caliphate. But they're cooperating. One day they will fall apart and fall against each other, but they're cooperating with each other. And the whole idea of religion being a key to what needs to be eliminated, at least in the sense of Christianity. Now, this conflict, and this is the last thing I want to say about the conflict before I get to the scriptures. This conflict between the Antichrist spirit and Christ. Really, that's what it is. The ultimate conflict is between the Antichrist spirit and Christ. And Christ is the Word become flesh. He is the one who will establish. He's been crowned king, the second Psalm. He's been crowned king. He's been crowned high priest. And so when the Father swears that Jesus, the Son, is the high priest and the high king, he is. The world doesn't know it, but the Antichrist spirit is struggling against Christ in the establishment of his kingdom. They inevitably will be defeated. Good news, people. We win. We win. Really, we need to keep this in mind. We need not be fearful. Of course, one of the ways that I said a minute ago that they have cowed people in Islam and in the radical left is through mass fear. I mean, when you have, like you had in China and Russia, under Mao and China and Stalin, Lenin and Stalin in Russia, and even after that, when you have mass eliminations, arrest campaigns, you have arrest quotas for certain, for every city, for every locality, you have a certain number of people you've got to arrest, certain number of people you've got to execute. The main thing that Mao did that was a little worse than Stalin, they both killed millions of people, probably 100 million people, if you add them all up. But Mao, when he ordered the arrest and execution of people in a particular city, let's say it was Lexington, he forced the entire population to watch the executions, men, women, and children. so that they would be terrorized and fear. We must leave, listen, we must lose every aspect of fear. And Hebrews 2 says that we are all our lifetime subject to bondage, to fear, even the fear of death, but that Jesus has set us free. We need to be practically and know we have been set free from death. If you don't fear death, if you don't fear dying, Satan can't touch you. Let me say it again. If you don't fear dying, Satan can't touch you. And the Antichrist spirit tries to put this great fear of death. Now, the nature of this conflict is eternal. And what God spoke to me, and this is why the rest of this is what God showed me that I should speak to you about. And I won't finish all of that, but we'll begin it. You have the Antichrist spirit, and on the side of the Antichrist is death and destruction and violence. And then you have the Christ spirit, Jesus, who is life, who brings life and blessing. And so go to Deuteronomy 30 with me. This is what the Lord put into my mind, first scripture he put in my mind yesterday afternoon. And it was Deuteronomy 30. Because this is the answer. Because the Antichrist spirit, Islam and radical left, are united for different reasons. I think they will fall out. In fact, I think the four armies that attack Israel will fall out. They will not remain allied. If I read the Bible correctly, there are at least four major armies that will come against Israel. Listen, the destruction of Israel is the number one goal. All these revolutions in Egypt, in Yemen, in Iran, of course, Iraq, even though we have gone in there, you have more persecution of Christians in Iraq than you had before. So there is a strong Antichrist spirit. It's a spirit of death. So this is what God says. And Jesus used the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament more than any other Old Testament book. Verse 12, Deuteronomy 30. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us, to get it for us, and make us hear it, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it, and make us hear it, that we may observe it. But the Word, Jesus is the Word. The Word brings life. The Word brings Christ. The Word brings the preaching. This is the key to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. The preaching of the Word, of Christ, of the life of Christ. Because the life of Christ that gets in us produces life in us and produces life in other people. The ultimate goal, and I won't get very far with this part of it today, but the ultimate goal is for the whole body of Christ around the entire world to become priests of God. The whole body, every single person in the body. So that as individuals are saved and filled with the Spirit and anointed and receive the Word and let the Word flow through them so that the life of God is bringing life to other people. That's the way the Antichrist spirit will be totally defeated. It will not be through political methods. It will not be through economic or political plans. It will be through the direct intervention of God on the earth through His people, one by one, to make them a total unity in every nation of the world. That's what the Tabernacle of David is all about, the reestablishment of the Tabernacle of David. There is coming a great move of God, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, which I will use some scriptures about. But let me go back to the word here. But the key to the bringing of the defeat of the Antichrist spirit, the defeating of death, is to bring life. And who brings life? The Word, Jesus, who is the Word. The Word become flesh. He is the Rhema of God. He is the Logos of God. He is the expression of God's thought. He is the one who has brought the life of Christ from, or the life of heaven through Christ down on the earth. And so that word, when that word gets in it, we don't have to go up to heaven. We don't have to go beyond the sea. The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That's Romans 10. The word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith which we preach, that if you believe in the Lord Jesus, and God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mouth, heart, mouth. Power doesn't flow. The life and power of Christ doesn't flow through you until the words of this scripture get from your mouth. You need to get it in your mouth and confess it. That's the beginning of you opposing as an individual, but eventually bringing all individuals together where there is a collective confession. See, one thing I didn't say, let me say this. Islam and socialism have this in common too. They believe in a collective salvation. Barack Obama, out of his own mouth, has spoken there is only collective salvation. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. There is only salvation for the individual in Christ when he repents and receives Christ. And this individual, and this individual, and this individual, and this individual, it becomes corporate, however, only after each individual enters into Christ, receives the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit and the sevenfold Spirit begins to be outpoured. And then God begins to unify and purify and empower the whole body of Christ. That's the end. That's what will finally totally defeat this Antichrist spirit. It's the only thing that will defeat this Antichrist spirit. So it begins with the Word. And the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Don't say, oh, come down here or come up here. The word's in your mouth. Speak it till it gets in your heart. When it gets in your heart, then you speak it. When you know it's already true, you know it's coming to pass, you know, okay? You know. You know it's coming to pass. You don't wonder. You know. That's when you have the word. See, the more the word you have, the more word you get. But if you don't have it at all, it's taken. The rest is taken away. Because the word is meant to be acted upon. You say you believe it, act on it. Act like you believe it. If you don't act like you believe it, you don't believe it. You can say you do. You can say you do. But you must act on it. I have set for... Now listen to how he puts this. I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity or destruction or curse. So you've got prosperity and life on the one hand, and you've got death and adversity on the other. And the Antichrist spirit brings death and adversity. See, why is this such... Excuse me if I get a little excited here. But why is this such a tremendous eternal battle? Because this is the final battle of life and death. This is eternal life and eternal death. It's not death just in the sense that a physical body dies. You die physically. This has to do with an eternal death and an eternal life. This is what the struggle is all about. We Americans don't... We are so materialistically inclined that we tend to look at everything from a very temporary point of view. We don't have an eternal... You can't get an eternal mindset until your whole spirit, soul, and body are in Christ and you are moving in the Spirit and being baptized in the Spirit, moving in the Spirit. You've got to move in these things so that you can begin to be removed. I wish I could say I'm removed from the world. I'm not totally removed from the world. I need to be. But the more we're removed from the world, the more God will begin to move in us. So, verse 16, in that I command you to love Yahweh your Elohim. I command you. You're supposed to say, yes, sir. If you've been in the military, you understand. You do well when you say, yes, sir. And you do what you're ordered to do. We need to take the Bible as commands. You're commanded to love. If you are commanded to love, it is not an emotion. You're not commanded to emote. You're commanded to receive the love of Christ and by faith release the love of Christ to your worst enemies and to everyone. You can do that by faith because the love of God is in you. So Yahweh, your Elohim, the great I Am that I Am, our Elohim, the covenant-keeping God, the Father is covenant with the Son and the Holy Spirit. We praise God because He's a covenant-keeping God, not because what's happening to us. That's Thanksgiving. Good things happen, thank Him. Praise has to do, you praise Him because He's a covenant-keeping God. Circumstances may be terrible, but He's still a covenant-keeping God. You may be in prison, He's a covenant-keeping God. You may be beaten, He's a covenant-keeping God. But if your heart turns away, and you will not obey, and you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you will perish. And the Antichrist spirit is inside the Christian church. And the Antichrist spirit is growing inside the organized church. I'm not talking about the hearts of individuals, but inside the, and certainly in the hearts of some people who call themselves Christians. But God knows. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death. Eternal life or eternal death? Eternal death is the Antichrist spirit, the Antichrist way. Eternal life is Jesus' way. Blessing and curse. Blessing goes with life. Curse goes with death. So choose life that you may live and your descendants by loving Yahweh your Elohim, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days that you may live in the land which Yahweh has sworn to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you. This land that Abraham came into, this land that Moses led them out and into, even though they did not immediately come into it, and they still haven't, nevertheless, it's meant to be the land of the Spirit-filled life, of the Spirit-filled life that is ongoing and eternal, so that we continue and continue and continue. If you abide in Me, My words abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. Abide in Christ. Abide in the Word. Abide in the cross. Abide in the resurrection. Abide in all these things, and God will bless you. Now, Matthew 24. I use this scripture a lot. God showed me many, 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 many years ago how important it was. And so I use it a lot. What I have to be careful of is not spend the rest of our time on Matthew 24. Because I need to get further than that today. But Matthew 24 we begin to understand here what's in the future and the nature of the struggle. And we begin to understand the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the first thing the Lord said to me the other day is that, son, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is the first important thing that I will have my people do, and it will be the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom that will be a key to the defeat of the Antichrist spirit. We need to know what it is that we can use to defeat the Antichrist spirit. And it isn't American troops in Libya or Iraq, or, and I'm not commenting on, I haven't been opposed to all that American intervention, but and for the most part, I think the presidents who have sent troops have had a good purpose in mind. It's just that the way we're going about to try to achieve peace will not achieve peace. It hasn't. Now, we do have to defend ourselves. I believe that. I do believe we have to defend ourselves. I do believe there was an important thing that was done after 9/11 where there was some response against the people responsible for the attack. But that's not the answer. I mean, that's not the final answer. And so let me read, beginning with verse 6 in Matthew 24, because this is the introduction that Jesus gives to the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And by the way, if you look at the Bible, Jesus preached about the kingdom of God. Paul preached about the kingdom. He spent 2 years preaching about the kingdom of God. In fact, all the parables have to do with the kingdom. What is the kingdom of God like? What does it mean to preach the gospel of the kingdom? I don't think the average Christian knows what it means to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Because it does involve a verbal proclamation, but it involves the release of the power of God from heaven down on the earth through the body of Christ. Without the release of the power of God, the kingdom is not established. The kingdom is not established without the release of the power of God. Now, Satan has his plans. And you know, as I read these words of Jesus, I don't know. Jesus does. I don't know what disasters have been brought by Satan and what God has brought as judgment. We'll know one day. I don't worry too much about that. Are these tornadoes this season? Is this a part of God's judgment, or is this just weather that is a part of the natural cycle of weather? I don't know. I do know that God has everything under control, and He allows what He will allow, and He does allow Satan to operate, and He does allow tragedy. And He can send, and He did in the Old Testament, He did send judgment on His own people over and over. In fact, I believe God is going to allow the Jewish people to be punished again until they come to a final repentance. But we have an obligation, I believe. This is where some Americans one day and others are going to be arrested and molested if we try to defend Israel, because Israel is almost, well, if you listen to Glenn Beck, you heard that the Nazi Party is being organized again in Egypt. And Hitler, who wrote Mein Kampf, did teach the destruction of the Jews and Islam, and the Muslim Brotherhood have picked up on some of this Nazi propaganda against the Jews. And so the hatred of the Jews, the hatred of America and the hatred of the Jews, the Antichrist spirit is going to bring to a fever pitch. But we don't fear. We don't fear, because we have the answer. Now listen, this is what Jesus said. Verse 6, Matthew 24, and you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened. See that you're not frightened. See that you're not frightened. Don't let a spirit of fear. Matthew 10, Jesus says, don't fear death. Don't fear public proclamation. If they arrest you, they arrest you. Don't fear public. Speak the truth. See, it's going to cost something. I've gone to Asia and Russia and different places where it costs the Christians something, and it may cost their life if they speak out. So far in American history, it hasn't cost us much. It's going to begin to cost us. It is now, but it's going to begin to cost us more and more and more in order to speak out. These things must take place, but this is not the end. Now, this is not the end. The wars, or the next thing, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That's the nations are in war. The kingdom of the Antichrist, or Satan, kingdom of God, that they're in war. There'll be famines, there'll be earthquakes. But this is not the end. This is not the end. Remember, this is not the end. All these things are merely the beginning of what will be the end. And the final end is the coming of Christ. But just before that, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. So yes, famines, earthquakes, yes, persecution. Well, verse 9, they will deliver you to tribulation, oppressive pressure on the spirit, the soul, and the body. They will kill you. And people who kill Christians and Jews will think they are doing God's work, especially Islam. Now, the radical left may not think it's God's work, but they think they are doing what they need to do to establish a complete communist system. And at that time, many will fall away. This literally means a falling away from the faith. Paul said that Jesus will not come back until the apostasy, the great falling away from the faith. There will be a greater... I asked the Lord one time, years, probably 10, maybe 15 years ago. I said, what about the apostasy? He said, yes, son, it's coming. But he said, many of my people are already apostate. Many of my people who use my name are already apostate. So the apostasy has been going on. It will intensify. It will intensify. When many will fall away, and they will deliver up one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Watch out for prophets and apostles, especially self-proclaimed prophets and apostles. I don't notice Paul going around talking constantly about, I'm an apostle. Now, he did talk about it some, but the key trait of Paul in 1 Corinthians, the key trait of an apostle is humility. He's not looking at me, what I am. It's that I come to the end of myself and allow God to move. Many false prophets will arise, and because lawlessness is increased, people's love will grow cold. Now, I'm not going to turn to Daniel 7, but if you look at Daniel 7, you will see that when the Antichrist comes, that the Antichrist will establish a new law and will break true law. Now, what is true law? The Latin word for law means something that is fixed and absolute that does not change. There is only one law that has been given by God. It was the first Pentecost, on the 50th day after they came through the Red Sea, the giving of the Ten Commandments, and the Holy Spirit wrote that law on the tablets of stone, later writing that law in our hearts. If we've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, He's written that law in our hearts. And that's where He wants it written. That's law. When people say law is evolutionary, we know that's an Antichrist spirit. Because law can't be evolutionary. It can't change. If it changes, it's not law. It's like saying truth changes. Well, if truth changes, you don't have truth. So law, the law of God, is permanent. You will be hearing God speak His law in judgment. You will be hearing what you have spoken. And see how your words line up with what God has spoken. That's why there's sin in Proverbs. There's sin in too many words. We talk too much. Then we can be speaking things that... because we will be judged even by the careless words that we utter. If we're perfect in word, James says, we're perfect. And so none of us is perfect except Jesus was perfect in word. But lawlessness will increase. It happened in the Roman Empire. One of the most lawful organized empires in world history was the Roman Empire. And by the end of the Roman Empire, there was mayhem. Runaway inflation. I'm afraid we're headed for that in America and in the world. I don't see the euro or the dollar, or, I mean, dollar is weakening. One of the reasons prices are increasing and oil prices are increasing is because of the weakness of the dollar. And governments throughout history, from ancient Egypt, have gotten in debt. And if you get in too great a debt, you can't pay it. We're probably at that point. And so the government, in this case, Federal Reserve, just is printing massive amounts of currency. And what you do is cheapen the value of the dollar. And so if you save money, if you've got, I live on a retirement income, which is pretty decent income. I worked till I was 75, so I, got a fairly decent pension build up. But as the inflation comes, I'm wondering now, what do you want me to do? Because I'm not worried. We shouldn't be worried or fearful. But I think we're going to have to rely more and more directly on God. I won't pursue that, but I do think we're going to have to rely more and more on God himself. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Then the end will come. Then the end will come. Remember. There's a positive that must happen. And the ultimate positive, Jesus splits the eastern skies. Of course, the ultimate negative for the Antichrist spirit. Because that means Satan will be bound and all his people will be bound. Now, let's begin to break down in the time we have left, and then we'll finish this next month. And look at Luke 9 to get some idea about the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Luke 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. Now, those two words are very important. He gave them power and authority. These are two of the four things in Revelation 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is come salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them day and night before our God. So you have four things. Two of them are here. Power and authority. Salvation and the kingdom come last. When you take authority, power released from heaven brings full salvation. Full salvation. Full salvation means that what Jesus did and what his disciples did when the power was released, people were healed. People were delivered from demon power. People were saved. People were baptized in the Spirit. All of what God does, salvation, soteria is the Greek word, that means every aspect, not just to be saved spiritually. But see, when he died on the cross and took your sins, he took your sickness. And he took bondage. He took all of that. And the church as a whole is all divided up in denominations about, well, you know, yeah, yes, you know, yes, no, no, not this, yeah, but this. And God is going to bring us all together in agreement. And when there is agreement, when there is agreement of the body of Christ and the body of Christ is unified, purified, and empowered, I mean, we don't understand. If we could get this entire class here to agree, I've seen it in our fellowship, where you get the whole body, let's say it's just 25 people, but you get all of those agreeing in prayer, I mean, power, more power is released. Of course, he wants that because, see, We're just ordinary people. I mean, we're selfish. We We want this credit and that credit. I mean, and he doesn't want us. He doesn't care about what he does through Bob Neff or Jim Stone or any of you. He wants the body of Christ. See, this is the ultimate. But you have to start with the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom for people individually to receive his life. Then when they receive his life, then God will begin to work. And he's doing it to bring the whole world. And this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is going to be involved in that. Now, so he gave them power and authority. This is dunamis. This is the, you shall receive power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No power unless you are saved and you have the life of God, then baptized in the Holy Spirit, because full power can't be released until you are baptized in the Spirit and begin to move in the Spirit. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. That's not a graduate degree. That's one of the elementary things in Hebrews 6. The elementary things of the faith. I thought when I got baptized in the Spirit, I'd made it. And Paul says that's just one of the elementary. You're just a second or third grader now, so don't get too excited. Authority, exousia, is power that's delegated from God, because all authority was given to Jesus. But when we are in Jesus and he is in us, that means that under him, and he is our covering. Don't look for men on the earth, pastors on the earth as covering. I don't dare get over that right now, but I'll just say this much. Don't look for men to be your covering. Look for Jesus to be your covering. And I'm not saying that men are not involved in covering, but Jesus is the key to your covering. Over all demons, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And when you look up the kingdom of God, in every case, wherever that is mentioned, you see power, healing, delivering from demon power, people saved, people baptized in the Spirit. You see the power of God moving, because there is nothing that will draw the unbeliever as quickly. I think I told you when I was talked to you about being in Vietnam the last time. We saw so many healings and people delivered that there was an unbeliever there. We didn't know. I didn't know there were any unbelievers. And at the end of the meeting, he came up and talked to one of the persons who came to me. And he said, he's never seen this kind of power. He knows Jesus was here. Could he receive Jesus? And so we led him to Christ. I mean, this, you know, evangelism can be easy if we just let God be God and let him, don't rank, you know, well, you know, divine healing is not that important. We ought to get souls saved. Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're going to rank, but to rank things that way is not, it's all one. It's all in Jesus. It's what he did. It's all one salvation. And the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom presents it as all one. And doesn't get excited about, see, that's the problem with denominationalism. Denominationalism has, in every case, we become a Johnny One Note on this, or this, or this, or this aspect of salvation. And God wants us to understand the entire thing that God is doing. Verse 6, departing, they began going among the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Verse 23 and 4. Now, this is a key. This is an essential. Without this, you, me, will limit the power of God. The least little bit of Bob Neff's flesh or soulishness will limit the power of God. Yes. And same with you. The least little bit, the tiniest little bit of us as individuals will limit the power of God. That's why, I guess, verse 23. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself. Deny the self-life. You have a soul. That's the self-life. That's your personality. We understand we should deny the desires of the flesh. We understand. I think Christians understand we should deny the pleasures of the flesh. But I don't think we understand very well to deny the soulish desires. The desires of my own will, my own mind, and my own emotional being. So that to take the cross daily is to die not only to the flesh, but to die to my own mind, my own opinion. God doesn't care about your opinion. Don't give people a piece of your mind. They don't need that, no matter how smart you are or how much experience you have, unless you are speaking from something that God has said and God has shown you. Die to your own will. You know, most of the sin we commit, we decide to do it. We decide to do it. And I'm guilty and you're guilty. I know I'm guilty. Die to our own mind, our own will, our own emotion. Now that's really, we don't understand that one at all. Die to our own emotions. Christians are as entrapped by their own emotions as the world. And we seem not to think that Jesus has an answer to this. We seem to think that medicine and drugs are the answer to this, and they are not. Now, I've seen cases where I think it would be wise to use a particular drug if someone is going to commit suicide, and you know they haven't immediately received, a deliverance but the ultimate answer is never a drug, because the moment you use a drug to control an emotional, a negative emotional state of being, like depression, you trigger 3-4 other emotional problems. And because men don't know what they're doing. Now, you know this. I've had a doctor who I've become a close friend with has told me outright. He said the drug companies own the doctors. The drug companies own the doctors. And most doctors don't know the effects of a drug, except that the drug company has told them this is the effect. And the problem is, for a temporary help, you may trigger 3 or 4 other problems. So you need another one, and you need another one, and you need another one. Now, I'm not saying that you're in sin if you take a drug. I don't believe that. But I do think you need to ask God what. You know, by faith, you ask God whether to go to the doctor. You ask God whether to follow this. You ask God, I mean, God is the doctor. And so you need to follow what he says. For whoever wishes to save his soul life, your own will, your own mind, and emotion shall lose it. Whoever loses his soul life for my sake, he will save it. If you don't learn how to take the cross, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom is going to be limited. But if we learn how to take the cross, because that's where the power in Jesus himself came from. He died on the cross. And they saw him die. Lightning, thunder. And when he was raised, people came out of the graves. Because the power of God is in the cross and then the resurrection. They're together. The cross, then the resurrection. I learned how to die. And you defeat death just like Jesus defeated death. He defeated the Antichrist. He defeated Satan. He defeated all that world. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I thank you and praise you and worship you and love you and glorify and magnify your holy and wonderful name. Thank you, Lord God, that you died on the cross and that the power of the cross, God, was released and you defeated Satan. You defeated death. You defeated destruction. Yes, Lord, you defeated fear and anger and bitterness and all of the negative things that are in our life. You defeated death. You defeated death. You defeated violence. You defeated all destruction. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you brought life and your life is flowing and your life is going to be fully released, Lord God, in us. For the whole church is going to be, as it were, resurrected, God. Whole church is going to be resurrected. Next time we will look, Lord God, how you began to pour out your Spirit. And how as you poured out your Spirit, you began to establish the church. And then the New Testament church came. And then they tried to kill. The Roman Empire tried to, Satan tried to stamp out that church. And they couldn't stamp it out. And yet, at the end of the Roman Empire, then came the control again. The control from the top where the enemy was penetrated inside the church. But God, we know you're going to set us free. You're going to set us free. You're going to set us free. The whole body of Christ is going to be set free. And we'll all be involved in the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. And the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit of God will be released. And people will be saved and healed and delivered. And God, there will be a revolution of salvation, a full salvation. And people will see. And then, people who resist, still resist, will have to be judged and will have to be sent to hell with Satan. Because they will have seen the revelation. Just like the people saw Jesus on the earth and they still rebelled against him. And there will still be people, many. But God, they will have a last chance. And so God, help us to be a part of that and prepare for that. And help me as I try to outline this next time, more of it that we will understand. In Jesus' name, amen.
You're working, brother. I'm telling you.
Amen. Amen.
Work it. Lord God, are you open July 3rd? That's the first Sunday.
As far as I know, I'll let you know I'll say yes and then.
Okay, you're saying yes right now. He'll let me know later. July 3rd, you put it on calendar. That's the first Sunday again. Okay, I think that's about it. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you. Christ, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his eyes, lift up his countenance, lift up his very smile and very being on you, and bring you a peace that passes all understanding throughout this week. His blessings and his favor overwhelm you, overtake you, to bless you in every way and grace sufficient for every need. And I bless you with health, wealth, and well-being, creative ideas, inventive thought patterns that align themselves with the mind of Christ and the will of God in you.
Yes, Lord.
And I do that in the name of Jesus and all God's people said.
Amen.
Last dismissed.
Amen.